You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Oh, look, we have our own view, which is that the 7.5 billion is a signal that we need to spend more on fixing the deficits that this government inherited after 9 years. So, look, we're well aware through the various reviews that the government's been conducting that there are significant challenges that need to be addressed, and we think that now's the time to do it.
Where does the PSA want to see the money go? You've listed a significant number of services and issues in your press release that need the funding. Could you go through them one by one, detailing what they're facing and how the money could be spent on them?
Well, look, housing is a clear priority. It was a major issue in the election and needs to be addressed. And we think the priority in that space should be around social housing. The government's made a good start in building more state houses than we've seen for a long, long time. But, you know, like, the deficit is huge there. If you look at the affordable homes side of it, there's 130,000 fewer affordable homes than we currently need. And with the growing population, this problem's likely to get worse, so we want to see that addressed. So the building of state houses is an absolute priority. That needs to be ramped up beyond where it is at the moment. Moving on to the health sector, we saw over the 9 years of the previous government that health spending was severely constrained. And although the government's made a good start here again, and we were really supportive of the mental health spending in the last budget, that is something we campaigned for during the last election, but there is still a significant funding shortfall. You know, the Council of Trade Unions research indicates that there's 130 million less in the system than it needs. When we come to the whole question of benefits and the reforms that are proposed being by the Welfare Expert Advisory Group, that's another major area that the government so far has only dipped its toe into solving. So that's a priority area for us as well. We think that our members in work income who want to do the best for the people they work with should be given the tools and the resources to do that. But there are other things as well. Like, I think that it's really wrong time to be thinking about tax cuts, as National and others have been floating. We've got all those challenges that we talked about there, but we've got the impending challenges around issues like climate change, our physical infrastructure. All those things require a well-resourced and effective government. Not a time to dissipate that through frittering away on tax cuts.
I think the biggest area that people are looking at, which coincides with the announcement of the surplus, is the revelations that there is over $1 billion in deficits with the health sector, and the $650 million, I think it was, owed to workers from holiday pay. Do you agree with that a lot of the surplus should go towards helping alleviate that issue?
Look, certainly the deficits are a concern, and they're at least in part a product of that underfunding over the previous 9 years, which it's only been partially addressed. So, I would support that. Certainly, we're party to that issue around holiday pay in the DHBs, and we're certain that there are similar holiday pay issues across the state sector. I mean, the other thing too is that within the state sector and the state and the publicly funded services area in the community, there are major issues that need to be addressed around issues like equal pay and the payment of a living wage and so forth. So that's part of the social deficit too, is that the government needs to ensure that those services that it funds or provides directly appropriately resourced so that low pay and inequitable pay can be addressed.
Just at the end of when you were listing off the issues, you mentioned that the government needs to prepare for climate change and needs to go through significant infrastructure changes. Could you just go into a bit more detail on that?
That's a kind of a general point at this stage. We are well aware that loads of our infrastructure is vulnerable to climate change because it's close to the coast. That's a major problem for local authorities, and we've got plenty of members in local government as well who are worried about this. Whether or not local authorities can afford to manage that on their own, or whether they need government assistance, it's a moot point. And of course, a lot of that infrastructure is actually central government's responsibility anyway. So those kind of when we look ahead to those challenges, because they will be coming, We need to ensure that the state is well-resourced and ready for them.
Are you confident that the surplus will be put to good use, like you hope?
I'm reasonably confident. I think the narrative from the government has begun to change, so we welcome that. They are still bound by their budget responsibility rules, which we are not happy with and have been critical of in the past. I think they're due to be reviewed in 2021. We would like them reviewed earlier than that. But there's certainly scope even within those to make significant investment. But we think that they should throw those budget responsibility rules out and do the investment, because this is what we're talking about. It's investment in people, it's investment in our infrastructure, and that's what needs to happen.
Could you just briefly go over what those government budget responsibility rules are?
There's several aspects to them, but the two key parts are that they have set a limit on... They've set some targets in terms of the debt levels that they should carry as a government, and they've also said that there will be a limit on the proportion of the economy that public spending constitutes. And from memory, they're in the vicinity of the debt target around 18% of government expenditure, and around 30% of GDP should be spent on public services. Now, we think that those are both unnecessary restrictions. We can carry much more debt quite reasonably to invest in the ways that we've been talking about. And there's no reason why public expenditure should be restricted to 30% of GDP.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.